الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لتأمرن بالمعروف ولتنهون عن المنكر أو ليوشكن الله أن يبعث عليكم عقابا من عنده ثم لتدعنه فلا يستجاب لكم أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected علماء الكرام, brothers and elders. The surah of the Quran Sharif that was recited, Suratul Asr, is perhaps the shortest surah of the Quran Sharif. Almost the shortest surah of the Quran Sharif. It's barely a line and a half. And every person is perhaps hafiz of this Quran Sharif, of this surah, and recites it regularly in his salah. And this surah, despite being so short, yet it has the crux of everything that is required of us and everything that has been given to us in the Quran Sharif and by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as a result, it is mentioned in some narrations that some Sahaba-i-Kiram, when they would meet one another, that whatever they met for, before they could part, they would certainly recite the surah as a reminder to one another. Before they leave one another, the departing point would be the recitation of the surah as a reminder that this message Allah Ta'ala has given us, and therefore we have to now keep this fresh in our hearts and minds. We have to be constantly practicing upon this, so they would actually recite the surah at every meeting. And a great imam of his time, Imam Shafi rahimahullah, says that if people had to truly ponder just on this one surah of the Quran Sharif, if they had to truly ponder and understand the message of this one surah of the Quran Sharif, this too would be sufficient for their guidance. Because the crux of the entire Quran Sharif is India. So therefore, this is something that we have to be regularly pondering on, reflecting on the message of the surah, and also reflecting upon how much of it is in our lives. Many a times, when we recite the Quran Sharif, or listen to something about the Quran Sharif, or some ayat is being explained to us, then often this is something that we tend to take it as referring to others. For me, well, I am fine, everything is okay with me. Whereas every part of the Quran Sharif is meant for us to reflect upon ourselves first and foremost. How much of this is in my life? How much have I practiced on it? So this is the need that we have to constantly be revising the lessons of the Quran Sharif and reflecting upon how much of it is in our lives. So in this surah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, starts off by taking a qasam, wal asr, that by the oath of time, people take oaths, take a qasam. The purpose of that qasam is sometimes to just make the person believe you. Look, what am I saying? I'm not making some story, I'm not fabricating something, I'm not taking out something from my pocket, it's 100% true. But that is when humans talk to one another, sometimes they need to convince the other party. Or sometimes there is some case, then a person is made to say what he's saying, testify under oath, so that this weight of the oath will make him say the correct things. But when it comes to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. Who can be more truthful than Allah Ta'ala? So what need does Allah Ta'ala have of taking an oath? When Allah Ta'ala takes an oath, it is not to convince anybody that na'uzu billah Allah Ta'ala, what he's saying, there's any doubt or could have been any doubt in it, so therefore Allah Ta'ala is trying to convince us. Allah Ta'ala is beyond that. But to highlight the importance of what that qasam is being taken on. Don't take this lightly. This is an extremely important thing. Allah Ta'ala himself is taking a qasam upon it. So time is the capital that every person has. And if he loses his capital, he's lost it. And unlike the capital of dunya, sometimes that capital gets lost, then he makes some arrangements and tries some other things, and he can still get some other capital from somewhere and carry on with life. But the capital of time, when those minutes, when those seconds tick away and have come to the end, and a person has exhausted this capital, there's no return. It is beyond the capital of anything else. Any other capital a person may have, this is beyond everything. And he lost this, he lost everything. So this is the one aspect that Allah Ta'ala is bringing to our hearts and minds, the importance of this time. That this time is not for merrymaking and whiling away in haram. And a person says, well, you're going to have live life to the full. And well, life is for enjoyment. You can't be living without the leisures and pleasures of life. Allah Ta'ala hasn't forbidden anybody from the haram, from the halal ni'mats and bounties that he himself has provided. Somebody has some halal ni'mats and bounties Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with. It has come in a halal way. He hasn't infringed the commands of Allah Ta'ala in any way. Alhamdulillah, he'll make shukr upon that. And he will use it in a way that earns the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. So nobody has been forbidden that. But we are being told that this time is not for making those leisures and pleasures and comforts and luxuries the focus of life, the be-all and end-all of life. So this time is very valuable. Once it ticks away, it'll never come back. And Allah knows best when that last moment comes. That every person is walking, Malakul Maut is right behind him. At any time, he might just take that soul away. And once it's gone, then there's nothing, no return. There's no coming back to this dunya. Aayi qaza, le chali chale, na apni khushi aaye, na apni khushi chale. That when that appointed moment came, it'll just take a person. He didn't come of his own will in the dunya. He won't leave by his will. He will leave when the appointed time comes, whether he's happy to go or not, whether he's willing or unwilling. He will go when the time comes. So we have to be conscious of this time and use this time correctly. And together with that, well, us, time is what? Time is the witness to everything that has passed in time. Time is history also. The time that has passed, this moment that has passed now has become history. So history is bearing testimony to everything. And further Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. That verily every human being is in a loss. Every human being is in a loss except those who have four attributes in their lives. So history bears testimony to this, that this is a reality. Whatever a person had in his mind and thought that this will give me success, that will make me lose. But if it was against what Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, then history bears testimony that what Allah Ta'ala has mentioned is the reality. So some person in history thought that maybe amassing the dunya would bring him success. This would save him from loss, such as, for example, Qarun. So history bears testimony, and Allah Ta'ala recorded this history in the Quran Sharif for us. That amassing the dunya, this brought no success for him. That alone doesn't guarantee any success. Otherwise, Qarun, Allah Ta'ala gave him so much. Inna Qaruna kana min qawmi Musa fabagha alayhim. That Qarun was from the people of Musa alayhi salam, and then he became rebellious. But what did he have? What Allah Ta'ala gave him? وَآتِيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْكُنُوزِ مَا إِنَّ مَفَاتِحَهُ لَتَنُوعُ بِالْعُصْبَةِ أُولِي الْقُوَّةِ. Allah Ta'ala says, we gave him so much of treasures, let alone the wealth in the treasures. Only the keys put together, a strong group of men of strength, a whole group of strong men, they would have difficulty carrying just the keys. Forget the treasures and what's inside. But what was his end result? فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ. He was swallowed up into the earth. That was his end result, due to the rebellion against Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So history bears testimony to this, that wealth itself is not the basis of success. And neither is poverty the basis of loss. If poverty itself was the basis of loss, then anybody who suffered poverty would have been a total loser. Whereas again, history bears testimony to the opposite. On one occasion, Hazrat Jibreel salatu wasalam comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and the entire ummah put together on one side, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu alone on the other side, he will far outweigh the entire ummah in his rank and position. And nobody in the entire ummah can be as successful as anywhere close to the success that he achieved. And what is his condition? Jibreel salatu wasalam comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and asks him that why is Abu Bakr dressed in this manner? Allah Ta'ala is conveying salams to you, and Allah Ta'ala is asking, and who can know better than Allah Ta'ala? But in order to make this apparent, so that history will become a testimony to this, Allah Ta'ala is asking, why is Abu Bakr dressed in this manner, that he has this one upper garment and he doesn't even have anything to tie it together? قَدْ خَلَّلَهَا بِخِلَال, that he's joined it together and he's keeping it together, held by a thorn, by thorns. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replies and says that أَنْفَقَ مَالَهُ عَلَيَّ قَبْلَ الْفَتْحِ. Abu Bakr spent everything on me, in supporting me to convey the message of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, in supporting me to convey the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Whatever he had, he spent everything. Now he's suffering poverty as a result of having spent everything on me in this cause of deen of Allah Ta'ala. After having been given this answer, Jibreel Salatu Wasalam then says that فَقْرَأْهُ السَّلَامَ مِنِّي وَمِنَ اللَّهِ, that convey my salams to him, and convey the salams of Allah Ta'ala to him. And Allah Ta'ala wants to know from him that are you happy with me in this state of your poverty, or are you unhappy? When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam conveys this message to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that Allah Ta'ala is asking, why Jibreel Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, are you happy in your condition? What condition? Condition of such abject poverty that he doesn't have buttons to button his garment together. And when he hears this, he bursts in tears and he says, I'm going to be unhappy with my Rabb? Ana an Rabbi Rad. Ana an Rabbi Rad. I'm most happy with my Rabb. This was the success despite the poverty. And that was the failure despite the wealth. Neither is wealth itself the basis of success or failure. Neither is poverty itself the basis of success or failure. What is the basis of success or failure? That is based on what Allah Ta'ala mentions thereafter. So history, Allah Ta'ala is bringing firstly the qasam on time. The time is a testimony. It has seen the rise and fall of nations. It has seen that those who fulfill what Allah Ta'ala required of them, then they gain izzat and honor in this dunya, and everlasting izzat in the akhirat. Those who followed the Nabi of their time, they gained that izzat and honor in dunya and akhirat. Those who thought they knew better, they thought they could circumvent things, they could cut corners, they could pull the wool over people's eyes and get away and be very happy of, mashallah, you saw how well I did it. Person didn't even know he got bought and sold. So time is a testimony also to how they fared. What was their end result? How Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, while he's on his deathbed and 10 children, and somebody comes to him and says, you've done a great disservice to your children. He says, what disservice did I do to them? He says, you didn't leave any of the wealth of the world for them. Because when he came into, as became the Amir al-Mu'mineen, he, everything that was already in his power and hands, but was acquired by those in power before him, in an unjust way, returned everything to the Baytul Mal. And he lived a life of absolute poverty almost. And now he's leaving the dunya. And he says, I have left deen for them. And if they are obedient to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will take care of them. And historians write that they saw on the table mats, on the dastarkhans of the sons of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, one son was feeding hundreds of people. And they were kings of the Banu Umayyah, who left hordes of wealth for their children. The same people who saw this scene, they also saw the children of those people who acquired that wealth in an unjust manner, by usurping it from others, by getting it in a haram way. They saw the children of those same kings begging at street corners. History is a testimony to all this. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, Wal Asr. That keep in mind this testimony of time. And bear in mind the lessons that this history is giving you. The Quran Sharif is filled with history, but that history which is of use to us. Otherwise, the history of this happened and that happened in the, wherever in the world, if it's not going to make us become closer to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it doesn't give us a lesson of how to become the true servants of Allah ta'ala. That history is not worth anything. It's not worth the paper it's written on. But that history which makes us realize what is our destination, where are we heading to? How can we make this life worth something? That history is filled in the Quran Sharif. So all these things have been given to us. History has borne testimony to those who had correct akhlaq. How did they fare? Those who trampled the rights of others, what was their end result? In the hadith of Bukhari Sharif, it is mentioned one person in the Bani Israel passed away. And when the angels were taking his records, so, see, he's got no good deeds to his account. But he was asked, what good do you have? Anything? He says, no, I got nothing. Yes, obviously he had iman, but sometimes a person does something with such sincerity. It is that sincerity that gets accepted and that act that comes along with it. He says, I had nothing. But yes, people used to owe me. I used to sell people on credit. People used to come borrow money from me. And I would say to my employees, that look, if somebody is hard-pressed, give him time. If somebody is down and out, even overlook it. Forget about it. That's the only thing I got to my credit. So history bears testimony in Bukhari Sharif, the narration comes, Allah Ta'ala forgave him, said, fine. You forgave others, we are more deserving of forgiving. So history bore testimony to that also. And those who had the very, very hard way and harsh way, that it'll be my way or the highway, so history bore testimony to them also. What was their end result? So in any case, this is what Allah Ta'ala is bringing to our attention, that don't forget history. Don't forget your capital of time. Wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr. Who are the people that are exceptions to this rule? That every human being is at a loss. Allah Ta'ala says, those who have these four attributes. Illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat wa tawasaw bil haqq wa tawasaw bis sabr. Those who have these four things in their lives, Allah Ta'ala says, they are excluded from this total loss. The first aspect is iman. Without this, is like the seed not being present, there can be no tree thereafter. Then if a person has some artificial tree, that artificial tree is artificial. It probably might just look nice from the outside, but in reality it's nothing. You can't eat the fruit, you can't benefit from it in any way. You can't even chop it and use it for firewood. It's artificial. So the artificial thing has got no benefit, no value. So the seed has to be there for any benefit thereafter. So the very essence of everything is iman. And not just a thought or concept, but the conviction. The conviction of what is the reality of akhirat. The conviction of that this life is very temporary. We are heading towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We are going to have to account for our deeds. What is the reality, is the conviction regarding this? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. They believe in everything Allah Ta'ala has given them. Whatever Rasulullah has blessed them with and passed on to them, they believe firmly with full conviction. And this is something that requires constant effort to keep improving this iman. Because when this iman becomes a reality, then the fruit of iman comes. In the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala describes those who have the fruit of iman, those who have understood the reality of iman, that Allah Ta'ala says regarding the believers, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهِ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, that the true believers, those who have the reality of iman, the mere mention of the name of Allah, وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, it makes their hearts tremble. That how are they going to face Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah? That these are my a'mal, these are my deeds. This is where I've looked. This is what I've spoken. This is how I've conducted myself. How am I going to face Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah? What answer am I going to give of my deeds on the day of Qiyamah? So, وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, their hearts tremble. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا, and when the ayat and the verses of Allah Ta'ala are recited to them, this increases their iman. So when the reality of iman is there, then this is the effect of that iman. So إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and together with iman, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, together with iman, they have righteous actions in their lives. That a person has iman, then he has salah in his life also. And salah is 5 times salah. Fajr, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib and Isha, all 5 salah is in his life. So he has iman, he has salah also. And he has iman, then he has fasting as well. He has zakat and hajj also. All his ibadat is in place. With iman, he has amal as-saliha in terms of his mu'amalat, in terms of his monetary dealings. He doesn't touch 1 cent of haram. He doesn't touch 1 drop and grain of haram. I want to have nothing to do with haram, because this business doesn't sustain me. Allah Ta'ala sustains me. الَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينَ وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. Ibrahim والسلام taught us this lesson of Tawheed. Allah Ta'ala alone grants me, feeds me and gives me to drink. Allah Ta'ala gives me cure when I'm ill. So amal saliha in terms of mu'amalat, his monetary dealings are clear. Doesn't cut corners. He doesn't try to make a million out of stealing it out of people's pockets. No, he is somebody that is upright in this regard. Then he has iman, he has mu'amalat and mu'asharat also. He has the correct social life. He's treating his parents correctly. He is treating his wife correctly. He is fulfilling the command of Allah Ta'ala in her regard also. وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, that treat them kindly in the world. He is fulfilling the command with regards to his parents, وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفِّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. Don't even say uff to your parents. Don't rebuke them. He is fulfilling the rights of his neighbors. وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ. He is fulfilling the rights of the poor and the indigent, of the orphans and the widows. All this is in the Quran Sharif. So he has iman, he has amal saliha, he has all these things. He has mu'asharat as well. He has iman and amal saliha, he has akhlaq also. He has humility in his life. He has compassion. He has mercy. He's a forgiving person. He's a person, rahimallahu rajulan sahlan. He's an easygoing person. Idha ba'a, wa idha ishtara, wa idha iqtada. When he's selling, when he's buying, when he's demanding payment, very easygoing person. And he's somebody who is that tree that is all the time bearing that sweet fruit, giving that shade to everybody, giving that sweetness to everyone. He's not the type of person that everybody is getting, anybody brushes past him also is getting hurt by the thorns. So, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, iman and amal saliha. This completes the person himself. This is for his own correctness and betterment. But then, we are an ummat. We are a human being, then we are believers. We are human beings and believers, but together with being believers, we are the ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been taught to be an ummah, to be one nation. In the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives the example of the ummat, that al-mu'minuna ka rajulin wahid. All the believers put together are like one person. إن اشتكى عينه اشتكى كله. If his eye is aching, the entire body from head to toe is aching as well. And وإن اشتكى رأسه اشتكى كله. If his head is aching, the entire body also is aching with the head. The whole body now joins him in supporting him, in being compassionate to that head, by also sharing the fever, by also sharing the sleeplessness. It's not that it's your business. You do as you wish. So this entire ummah, everyone is for everyone. And while this compassion has to extend even in terms of dunya, if somebody is hungry, then it doesn't behove of us to be happy with our stomach full. And whatever is in our capacity to also share something with him, our iman and amal saliha should move us in that direction. If somebody doesn't have sufficient clothing to wear, then our iman and amal saliha should not allow us to sit. That I have the best brand labels, what difference does it make if somebody else is without even adequate clothing in the cold? And likewise, everything else in life. So this iman and amal saliha will move a person to share the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala with those who are less fortunate in this regard. But all this is still temporary. The pain of the cold and the pain of poverty and hunger, as important and necessary as it is for us to do whatever is in our capacity to try and alleviate this. But all this will come to an end one day with death. But there is a greater pain in the akhirat if a person has gone from this dunya without iman, without amal saliha, and like a mu'min's compassion moves him to be concerned about the next person's hunger, the next person's poverty, the next person's nakedness, the next person's lack of a shelter, his iman and amal saliha cannot let him sit idle and be unconcerned that his own family is going in a different direction, going towards the fire of Jahannam, and he is content that doesn't matter, I am performing my salah. He cannot be sitting idle and feeling very content that it doesn't happen what's going on with the rest of the community or the rest of the world. It's my life and my jannat. Anybody else wishes to go to Jahannam, it's up to them. No. Allah Ta'ala says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Those who want complete success and want to be totally safe from failure, the failure which Allah Ta'ala describes, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرِ, together with their iman and together with their amal saliha, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ, they enjoin the truth on one another. They invite one another towards what is correct, what is true, what is haqq, the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the correct amal, the correct muamalat and muasharat and akhlaq, and the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, one is the sabr in being steadfast on deen, in being steadfast and staying away from everything that Allah Ta'ala has forbidden, and sabr in the path of inviting towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Whatever obstacle comes in the way of a person, then he is steadfast. Nothing comes in his way to detract him from that duty and responsibility. So together with being concerned about his iman, with being concerned about his amal, he's concerned about his wife and children also. He's concerned about his brothers and sisters also, about his nephews and nieces as well, about his entire community and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the duties of every believer as clearly described in this ayat of the Quran Sharif. And therefore Allah Ta'ala says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. That proclaim to every person till the day of Qiyamah, this is my way. I invite towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with conviction. I do this. Every person who follows me does the same. That is concerned about his iman, his amal, and is concerned about everybody's iman and amal as well. And nobody is perfect. We are all filled with weaknesses and sins. But despite that, together with making an effort on ourselves, we are responsible for making an effort on everyone also. Starting off with those who are closest to us, and the circle keeps moving. There is no aspect of sequence that first him and then next. Simultaneously, we have to make the effort within our capacity on every single person to the extent we can to try and bring ourselves and everybody else onto that iman and amal saliha that will bring the total success of dunya and akhirat. For this is all the efforts of deen for the same purpose. Whether it's the effort of the masajid, the talks that take place on Jumu'ah, the programs that take place in our masjids perhaps on a weekly basis, whether it is the effort of the ulama-i-kiram, the efforts of the khanqas, the effort of da'wat and tabligh, all is to bring us to the same end result. That how we can become conscious of all our responsibilities, become correct believers ourselves, become those with the correct iman and amal-e-saliha in our own lives, and also be concerned about the iman and amal of everybody else also. Because Allah Ta'ala has excluded those who have all four things in them. Allah Ta'ala excluded them from the loss. So for this is all the efforts of deen, the ijtimas that take place, the jamaats that knock on our doors, all this is for the same purpose, nothing else. And for that, this ijtima that is taking place, inshallah, from tomorrow, in Ispingo Beach, from tomorrow Zuhar till Monday Zuhar. For these 48 hours, that we come in this environment where this reality is revived. We are reminded of the same reality, that our iman, our amal, and inviting one another towards righteousness, and enjoining the sabr upon one another, this is our recipe for success. This is our prescription for getting safe from the loss and harm of dunya and akhirat. So therefore we should make every effort that we are present ourselves, we bring others along, we participate with the same intention, that how we can imbibe this lesson in our lives, and reflect upon this meaning of this surah, as we started off right at the beginning, that the purpose is not just to just understand something for the facts, but to reflect upon ourselves, how much is this in my life? And what I should be doing to bring all these aspects in my life. This is what these ijtimas take place for, to make us conscious of this, and make us imbibe these aspects in our lives, and live it. So inshallah, we all should make the effort to be there for the entire duration, and there will be many duties and responsibilities also. Volunteers are required to fulfill those duties. Inshallah, after the salah, there are some forms at the back of the masjid, those who would be happy to volunteer for the various departments, they can give their names as well. So inshallah, in this way, we will share in the benefits of whatever will come out, whatever good will come out. Allah knows best whose hearts gets changed, and who becomes conscious of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and who imbibes all these lessons, and we will share in the reward of all that good. May Allah ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.